Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Then we'll turn over to Luke chapter 1, and then in Luke chapter 2. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of reading of God's Word today. And this is a good time to be here today. It's Christmas Day. You never know what you're going to get when comes Christmas Day. A lot of people are gone. A lot of people have traveled already, and people are getting ready to do that tomorrow for a whole week. And many people, how many of you are going or someone in your family is going to San Diego, leaving in the morning? Okay. I know there's going to be a lot of people doing that, and we want to pray for their safety in that. But I believe as we come here on Christmas morning, it doesn't happen but once every few years. I remember the last one very well. But as we come together on Christmas morning, I think it's important that we realize why we're here and also why we have Christmas. And so this morning, the message title is The Most Important Thing to Remember About Christmas. Look with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, and that was the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, speaking to Mary, the angel. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's bow for prayer as we come this morning. Father, we want to thank you for this day. This day that we come and remember the greatest day in all of human history. The greatest day in all the chronicles of eternity. The day that God became a man and came and dwelt among us. Father, we thank you for your precious grace and mercy. We thank you for the privilege it is to gather in this place today, this morning. We ask, Father, that just a few moments ahead, that the reading of your word would be special to our hearts. And we ask it today in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The most important thing to remember about Christmas, we'll see that here in just a moment. First of all, I would like to come back, and because last Sunday morning we looked at the Gospel of Christmas. The Christmas message actually is the Gospel of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And I read a quote to you, and I want to read that again this morning for help us put back into perspective the Gospel of Christmas. And here it is. Here's what Christmas is really all about. Christmas is all about God coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. living among men, dying on a cross, rising from the grave, ascending to the Father, being seated at his right hand to hear the cries and the pleas of his people and of sinners asking for forgiveness of their sins. If we could sum up all the Word of God, all of human history, all the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was summed up in that saying. For you see, that is the purpose of God in eternity and in time and history, to bring about his grace and his mercy to a creation that had fallen into sin and into rebellion. Now, what do we do with this truth? What do we do with all of this information? And what I'd like for us to just focus on before we finish here in just a few moments are five very important questions. The most important thing to remember about Christmas would be these five, the answer to these five important questions. And these questions are making a personal application for you and for me. That's why we're here today. Come and let's come and examine ourselves, examine our hearts, and examine our lives, and put it in the context of the real message and the real meaning of Christmas. So there are five important questions that apply this truth to our lives. Here is the first question. Do you see yourself to be a sinner? Some shaking heads and some are probably agreeing and not, you know, that's fine. A very important question. Do you see yourself a sinner? For the power of the gospel and the power of God is centered on this very important truth about you and me, about who we are and about what we are. Do you see yourself to be a sinner? Well, there are two kinds of people sitting here in this place today, or standing here in this place, in this room here this morning. You're either saved or forgiven, or you're unsaved and unforgiven. You've heard me rehearse this a lot for the past several months, but we live in an age and a time where Christians and in churches, people have watered down the gospel of God. And where they water it down is on this issue of sin. And so we take very lightly the matter of sin in our lives. We have to remember the God that we know, the God of the Bible, the God that we worship, the God that we celebrate at Christmas time is a holy God and a righteous God, the one true living God. And what God says about you and me and all people who walk and who live on the face of the earth, who've ever lived from the time of Adam and Eve there in the garden and will till the very last day, till when Jesus comes back again, is this great issue, this serious issue about sin. And you and I must come to the realization to see and to understand that we are sinners. Now, if you are this morning, if you know, you say, well, I know, I've had this experience in my life. And I look at my life and I look at my heart and I look there often. And I examine myself and yes, I believe myself to be a Christian. Well, here's how you know. Because dealing with the issue of sin and the issue of salvation, here's the result. If you're truly saved, truly born again, you will know that you're forgiven of your sins. That's the heart of it. You are forgiven of your sin. So do you know yourself to be a sinner? If you can say yes to that question, then you say, amen. We ought to give praise to God, and I'm sure that you do. Praise to God, and I do. Praise to God for my salvation, for the salvation of many other people as well. But when we come to know God through Christ, by the forgiveness of our sins, we are what the Bible calls us to be saints. So saints are forgiven sinners. People who are sinners before God, but are also forgiven by God because of all the Christmas message, all the Christmas story, and the gospel of God. So the first question is, do you see yourself to truly be a sinner? If you do today, and you're not certain that you know the forgiveness of God on your sins, then you need to celebrate Christmas by coming to Him today. Coming to the altar of God in your heart and your life, and coming to God on His terms. The second question is this. Do you see your need of a Savior? This is a logical question to ask after the first one. Do you see your need of a Savior? You know, I was watching a video yesterday, actually, and people were talking to others, just people out, just randomly talking to people and talking to them about God and grace and salvation and forgiveness. And people were being convinced and convicted of their sins as they were being interviewed, as they were being talked to. But I thought it was really interesting because this one point, this one interviewer talking to a young man asked him, do you see your need of a Savior? You see, here's one of the great issues in giving out the gospel of God. We've got to hear the truth of God, the gospel of God, in such a way and in such a manner that people see themselves as a sinner who is indeed a sinner. Most people admit that. But see themselves as lost before God. And there's where the watered down gospel has taken over the real gospel. The gospel of God that we read in the scriptures. And people say, well, yeah, he's a savior to me, he died. But there's no real deep conviction in the heart about why we need a savior. We need a savior because if without being forgiven of our sins, we will spend eternity in a Christless eternity. Separated from God forever with no hope and no second chance. So the second question this morning is, do you see yourself in need of a Savior? These questions will lead us up to a crisis point in our life. Because we have to come to a crisis of belief in our hearts and our lives. By realizing who God is, realizing who we are and what we are, and coming to terms with that. The whole purpose of Christmas. The third question is this. Do you want to repent? This is where the message gets really vague today, because the Bible says the grace of God, the mercy of God, the salvation of God is conditional. I thought it was unconditional. No. It's conditional on two things. Salvation from God is conditional on two things: repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. So it is required of all people who come to God with the real gospel for real salvation that they come through repentance and faith. What was the first message, the first sermon given by John the Baptist? Anybody know?
Repent.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he began his public ministry, what was the first sermon that Jesus preached? The first sermon that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preached. Nope. That was the great sermon. What was the first sermon that Jesus preached when he began his earthly ministry? I thought everybody knew this. I'll give it to you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, the condition of salvation is repentance and faith. So this third question is, do you want to repent? To come to God and to receive his grace and mercy for our lives, come to understand what real salvation is, we come to God on the basis of repentance. Repentance is remorse and conviction over our sins and seeing that we're condemned before God, but we see God in his love and his mercy and his grace is willing to lift off the penalty of your sins from you when you come to him in a humble heart of repentance. Repentance is humbling myself before God with a desire in my heart, with seeing the need in my mind and my heart as a sinner that I need to change my life. That's what repentance means. It means a change. And so I come to God on the basis that I come to surrender myself to him, desiring to change my heart and change my life. And only God can do that for us. So the heart of the Christmas message is, part of it is that we come to God in repentance. And that's something the church just does not like to look at today. Nothing. Because we like to do what we want to do. We think, yeah, I believe that I've got salvation. I'm all good to go for eternity. Now I'm off to live my life. I'm telling you here this morning, if God calls us to salvation through repentance, we are to continue to live our lives by walking in repentance. Don't hear a lot of amens, but that's it. Don't take my word for it. Open up the scriptures and see them for yourself. The real message of Christmas, the very important thing to remember. Do you want to repent? You say, yes, because that's required and that's what I want. And I want to forsake my sins, my selfish way of life, my own agenda. I want to come to God on His terms. And so we come in repentance and we yield ourselves to God that He might change us and change our life. We come by repentance, we walk by repentance. The fourth question is this. The other part of Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. Do you want to live your life by faith in Christ? You say, well, of course. What does it mean to have faith? Faith is not just simply believing. It's not just mental assent or accepting certain truths and facts in our hearts and our life that we've read in the Bible or heard preached or taught or shared with other people. Those things are true. I'm not diminishing those in any way, shape, or form. But I ask you this important question this morning. Do you want to live your life for Christ? For you see, coming, repentance toward God and faith toward Christ is what the Scripture says. Faith is submission and surrender to the authority of Jesus Christ. It's not simply believing in Him and then living however I want to. Faith is I live my life for the purposes of the will of God and for the purposes of Jesus Christ. To have faith in Christ is not to simply believe in Him. That's the big issue that's out in the world today. Well, do you believe in God? Well, I believe in a higher power and a supernatural being. That means nothing. That's nothing. That means absolutely zilch. Faith is, I believe that Jesus Christ is God the Creator, who became a man, who came down to this earth, was born in a stable, laid in a feeding trough for His first cradle, the God of glory in the lowest place in the face of the earth. And I don't imagine that stable smelled too good. Smell like animals. The Creator God becoming one of us for the purpose of living His life in perfect holiness without sin and then giving Himself over into the hands of wicked men, wicked sinners who terribly abused Him and then put Him to an open shame by nailing Him there to the cross. What He experienced on that cross for you and me was the punishment, was the wrath of His Father for your sins and my sins. That's what He was there for. He was punished thoroughly, totally for our sins. So that you and I might believe these things and know that Jesus Christ, being God, is the Savior. We read the Scriptures. He was called Jesus, which means Jehovah is Savior. We read the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's the gospel. And then the third one was Savior. That's a title. Over 700 names and titles for Jesus in the Bible, Old and New Testament. We've looked at three of them. And do you want to live your life for Christ? Is Christ pleased with you and how you live your life? This is the real meaning, the real message of Christmas. Then the fifth and final question. Do you want to do the will of God? What's the will of God? You know what? That's not an easy question to answer. But I do know it involves a relationship with God through Christ that is fervent, that is fresh, that is sought after day by day and even every moment throughout the day. For you see, if we do not do the will of God, the Bible says, Jesus Himself said, if we do the will of God, you don't belong to Him. In the sermon, the great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:21, you've heard me quote it many times. It's true. Brother Steve Sanders here just about 3 weeks ago preached the Word of God. And he brought out that same point. Jesus said there in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that calls me Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. And you go and look up that phrase in the four Gospels, and even in some of the epistles there of Paul and Peter. It is not possible to know God, to know Christ in a salvation, saving, grace experience, and then to ignore the will of God. It is not possible. And Jesus said it himself, especially there in Matthew 7, 21. Now, those very five important questions here. We'll sum this up here just very quickly. If you cannot say yes emphatically to all five of these questions, you don't know the real meaning of Christmas. I hope you don't disagree with that. I mean, you can challenge me. I'll be glad to sit down in the scriptures and we'll work it out. But those five questions are at the heart of what God wants to do in your life and in your heart. You see, Christmas we celebrate about the birth of Christ, but if we don't celebrate also the meaning of the birth of Christ, what is it all for? All for naught, all for nothing. The commercialization of Christmas. Are people crazy this time of year? How many of you went out on Black Friday? A few people did. You know what I saw on the news week before last? Those same people who braved that day were taking stuff back. They called it buyer's remorse. One lady had 10 toys still packaged unopened. She said, I just bought them because they were such a good deal. She took 8 of them back. So they're saying like over a billion returns just off of the Black Friday type thing. You see, the real meaning of Christmas is obscured with society, with our secular society. You and I must come to the realization to understand that God became a man, and he gave his son, his only son, his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the people of the world. Now, to celebrate Christmas, I said this last Sunday, and I'm going to close with this. To celebrate Christmas, if you do not know for certain you are forgiven of your sins, the best way for you to celebrate Christmas this morning is for you to come and give your life to God and give it to Christ in repentance and faith. Those two things. If you know that you are forgiven of your sins and you are a child of God, the best way to celebrate Christmas is to go and declare the gospel of God to a lost and to a dying world. Go find someone who is dead in their sins and preach to them, proclaim to them, declare to them the gospel of God so that they might be forgiven of their sins. That's the purpose of your salvation and my salvation. First of all, that we would receive from God the forgiveness of our sins. But secondly, and as importantly, is that we go and declare it to other people. And not only we just go and do and declare it to other people, but we go and we pour our lives into the lives of other people because we're to make disciple makers. So, we make this personal, this question personal. Who am I? Who is God? What about my sin? What about the gospel? What about seeking forgiveness? What about repentance? What about faith? What about all of these things? Where is your Christianity really focused in on? Does it motivate you? And is it the center of your life? You can do the things that God has called you to do that you're doing in your life. Unless he calls you to do something else, do where you're at, what you're doing. Do what you're supposed to be doing. But do it to the glory of God. Have the focus of God and of Christ in your heart and in your life. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes. We just have a few minutes this morning. About 6 minutes left. Just use this Christmas 2011, to just come clean with God.